Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, and we've got a very exciting show for you this week. Talk about a fairly large summer movie.
A little independent art house film.
And we've also got a look at not only The Dark Knight.
You're just ignoring me.
And I know, it's a new strategy of mine. But we're also going to take a look at Mamma Mia and the epic space adventure, Space Chips. And we're going to introduce a couple new segments. I'm kind of excited because I made up a couple new segments for us.
I think your rule is now structured chaos.
Yes, we're gonna continue on the structured chaos path for Fat Guys in the Movies, because it's so much more fun when I introduce a topic and then we deviate instead of just random deviation. So, but before we get to the deviation, let's start with where you can get a hold of us.
Yes,
you can go to fatguysthemovies.com. You can also go to iTunes, go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys the Movies. You can email us fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Or you can send us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. I didn't check it this week, so I don't know.
Maybe Christopher Nolan called and wanted to know what you thought of The Dark Knight.
I doubt it.
Or Ben Stiller called and asked.
Ben Stiller did call and asked what I thought of Tropic Thunder. And I told him that it was awesome.
Okay.
And I also told him that he used to babysit Colin's mom or uncle or whatever.
Really?
Well, Colin said that he used to babysit somebody.
Wow.
Our good friend Colin.
I used to babysit Jessica Alba, but then they got a restraining order.
It's not babysitting when you're tying them up.
It's not babysitting when it's like a federal crime.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So we got all kinds of stuff to talk about. I think we should get into this.
Here. Yes.
I think we should get going. Right?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm kind of mellow right now.
Do you want to start with the movie?
Yeah. Let's start with Mamma Mia, the popular ABBA musical about a bride-to-be who invites three men who might be her father to her wedding.
Three guys around the same time.
You shady lady.
The last time I saw your mother, she said she never wanted to see me again. Yes, I'm going home.
So who is your dad? Why? I don't know.
It's very Greek.
You're very Greek. You're very Greek, Neil Miller, with your fuzzy beard.
There are a lot of Greek things about this movie. I tell you what my...
No,
what?
Okay.
It's in Greece.
Okay, and they're old Greek people.
I will say with this ABBA musical adaptation, Mamma Mia.
As opposed to what, to the other ABBA musical, Sweeney Todd?
It's easily the best ABBA musical adaptation of all time.
Okay.
But it's also kind of a lot of fun.
Were you Bjorn again when you saw this movie?
Yeah, I was Bjorn again. I had an ABBA-gasm during the nice. During the showing. But
talked through the whole movie.
I did talk,
I
because it's one of those movies that for some reason I felt it necessary to participate with the film and make comments, not
mocking
comments, but not like I don't like this movie. I just there were certain parts that were kind of funny. Like there is a scene
that you're laughing with them, and
right? There is a scene where they're getting her ready to go up to the wedding, and they put her on a donkey, and I want to get married on a burro too, but
wow. What are you
they
saying?
Also, they start walking up this hill and the hill is like 17 miles long and I'm like, it looks like they journey up to Vesuvius.
They have a long enough time for them to sing an entire song.
And I'm like, and 6 hours later they get married,
yeah,
you know? So, but I tell you what, I am not like a huge fan of ABBA, but I don't think that there's anybody that can be like, I hate that music. It's just fun, easy to like music. And I thought the musical, as a musical adaptation goes, it worked pretty well. It moved pretty well, and it was fun. Meryl Streep is really good.
Yeah. Well, I'll disagree with. I thought she was. Well, I think Meryl Streep's overrated, anyways.
You're a hater.
Yes, I am totally.
You and your Helen Mirren camp.
I will dive in there and say that Meryl Streep. She used to be like younger and not that attractive, and now she's old and fat. So it's like there's nothing to like about her. I don't even think she's that great of an actress. I know I'm parting ways here.
You are.
I am. But anyways, a little preface to this. My wife's a huge fan of the stage show, and I took her to the Broadway stage show a couple years ago, and she loved it. And she has the soundtrack in her car, and she was really kind of underwhelmed by it. And I was talking to her today, and she's like, "Yeah, it's because of Meryl Streep. Okay. Meryl Streep kind of overacts."
What about Pierce Brosnan?
Well, Pierce Brosnan,
he looked very uncomfortable singing.
He was perfect for the role, the look, but he couldn't sing. I give him a lot of credit for singing, right. And he could sing, but you can tell he's not a singer. You know,
right?
There's a reason he never did one of the James Bond theme songs.
Right. And I will say this. Really enjoyed Amanda Seyfried in this movie.
She's hot.
She's come a long way since being the dumb girl in Mean Girls.
And she's a little top heavy, which is nice.
And she's hot. Yes, there's but she's one a great scene where she's
like walking across with this like little blouse. So I'm like watching, and I'm like, you could have had a dinosaur walk behind her. Right, I wouldn't even have noticed.
So I think, you know, and she's a great little singer. I mean, she really belted it out. Here's the deal, though, and I know most of the listeners that we have are of the male variety, and most of them are 15 years old, but some of them are older than 20, and they will potentially be taking dates to this. There's a couple things you need to know. One, it is definitely a musical. It starts, continues, and ends with a lot of singing. Two, it's a total chick flick. I mean, I literally thought by saying that I enjoyed this movie that I was going to sprout some female parts, but I didn't.
That's yet to be determined.
But it's not like one of those chick flicks that is like Devil Wears Prada, where like everybody could enjoy it just for being a good movie.
It's pretty much
all estrogen all the time.
It's not like Hairspray. I went and saw Hairspray, and I was like, yeah, even though it's a Broadway musical, I really got into it. I liked it. Despite my sort of misgivings at the beginning, this one I was kind of like, it was okay. The first half's great, and then it kind of it stumbles in the middle. It gets picks it up at the end, but it's like Lord of the Rings at the end. It takes like 7 years to end.
Right.
The movie ends and there's 10 more minutes.
And so I think it is fun. You could do worse, but it is one of the movies where ladies, you should just go find your girlfriends and take them, because most guys will feel a little tortured.
Neil will offer to go with
you. I will also go with you because I like all movies. So.
No, you don't. You do not.
I mean, I enjoy going to the movies. Okay. No matter what I'm seeing. I'll give you that. So next we're going to talk about Space Chimps.
Wait, what's your fat guy's grade?
Oh, crap.
It's crap?
No, it kind of rocks.
I'll give it a kind of rock simply because I think that the audience is going to like it. The audience it was made for.
Yes. Okay, and now we're going to talk about Space Chimps. Well, you're going to talk about it. I'm going to play the clip.
Three chimpanzees are recruited for a space program to save the world from alien invaders with Andy Samberg.
Commander's log. Space, the final frontier.
Permission to speak, Commander?
Permission granted.
You're a dork. Okay, got that out of my system. Wait, not quite yet.
Space Chimps.
Where's reverse on this thing?
Welcome to Instar. How can I help you?
Now, Kevin, you drove 2 hours to see this movie.
Yeah, I took my kids, and my kids loved it. They've been wanting to see it. They're advertising it heavily on the kids' shows. They wanted to see it, and when we were down there, they got little monkey masks and stuff like that.
Right.
For the kid, it's counter-programming that I don't know if it's going to work this weekend just because there's other movies out.
Yeah, plus still got a little WALL-E residuals.
Got WALL-E. Still got Kung Fu Panda floating around. Space Chimps isn't bad. It's not the best computer generated one, but it was cute, and it's definitely something you can take your kids to if you want something.
You think it'll have a life on DVD then?
I think it's going to have a decent life on DVD in the kids market. And also, if you don't want to take your kids to The Dark Knight because you're afraid that they will go insane with fear, you might want to take them.
Which
to Space
Chimps. They might. You never know.
They might. So I'm going to give Space Chimps a kind of rocks.
Cool. Cool. And speaking of The Dark Knight, when we come back, we are going to review it. And we are going to review it heavily because we have a full almost 11 minutes to talk about just The Dark Knight.
Something tells me we're going to have plenty of things to say.
Yeah,
about
we've got a lot to say. We'll be right back. And now, Kevin, the segment I've been waiting like 3.5 weeks
and bragging about because I think you saw Dark Knight first.
Yes, I could not wait to talk. It was funny. We were on our way to the screening on Monday and Brian came down and he was in the car with me and I was like, dude, you have no idea how much I want to see The Dark Knight again. He's like, why? I'm like, I cannot wait to be able to talk to people about this, like so that you and I can talk about how cool some of the stuff is that we can't say in reviews and things like that.
And it was funny that after you did see it, you're like, okay, who hated it?
Right.
You
were just, I wanted to fight somebody.
You had pulled out boxing gloves, you taped your hands, and you had boxing gloves on waiting to fight with somebody who didn't like it.
Yeah, because I will fight with them. I will beat them up. So,
arguably.
Yeah. If you haven't caught on by now, we're talking about The Dark Knight. This is the sequel to the 2005 Batman Begins, directed by Christopher Nolan. Nolan is back. Christian Bale is back as Batman. And there's this guy named Heath Ledger who plays the Joker.
Did something happen to him?
I'm not sure. Let's just play the clip and we'll come back.
What do we got?
Nothing. No name, no other alias. Clothing is custom. Nothing in his pockets but knives and lint.
Evening, Commissioner. Why so serious? A little fight in you. I like that.
Then you're gonna love me.
It's all part of the plan.
Evening, Neil Miller.
Now, here's what I have to say about The Dark Knight, I suppose. Because we've got plenty of time to talk about this, so.
Okay. I've seen
Everyone is talking about Heath Ledger, and I will say this. It's very sad that he's gone.
He plays a Riddler, doesn't he?
He plays the Joker. But his performance is fantastic on its own, aside from the fact that he died.
His
performance, alive or dead, is worthy of significant amount of recognition because he is a terrifying Joker. I mean, he is
and hilarious at the same time,
and very very funny, but very funny in a creepy, scary, I don't ever want to meet this dude way. And his performance is great, but what really surprised me about this film is two characters. One being Aaron Eckhart as Harvey Dent really creates the emotional curve for this entire film, whereas you have Batman on one side who, it's all about Batman, you know, trying to come to grips with himself being Batman and trying to keep order. And it's all about the Joker, who is this very unapologetic chaos creation machine that all
structured
he does,
chaos though.
Yeah, but he's very calculated in the way that he creates anarchy. And but then you have Harvey Dent, which is really the main storyline of the film, and I thought that was great. And the other character I liked was Gotham City.
Because, I'm sorry, I'm grown because whenever I watch a DVD, like I was watching The Shark season one DVD, and they're like, we wanted to make a character out of Los Angeles.
But this
I'm watching Burn Notice, and they're like, I want to make a character out of Miami. And you're just
But this is, I think, this is a good example of how you make a city into a character. Gotham City really becomes this very big but very real place.
Yeah, it's Chicago.
Yeah, it's Chicago, but it has this very vast feel
which
to it.
Which is different, because usually they've always implied that Gotham was New York.
Right.
But so is Metropolis, is supposed to be. Everything's supposed to be New York. And everything. Central City, I think, was supposed to, which is from The Flash, is supposed to be like Chicago.
Right.
But this one's clearly based on Chicago.
Yeah, but I dug the fact that with IMAX, Christopher Nolan could create this world that felt huge, but also felt still very real. And the performances are just fantastic. I mean, this, to me, is easily the best film that's come out this year. And I don't see a whole lot in front of it that, or I don't see a whole lot coming that really, that I really want to see that could be better than this.
Well, let me say this about the character of Harvey Dent, because the way you put it, the way I can describe it without it being necessarily, it's not a spoiler.
Right.
But for you to understand, because everyone's, it's all about the Joker and everyone's thinking Joker, Batman. Harvey Dent, his role is so important because Harvey Dent, if you don't know, this isn't a spoiler or anything, this is the character, he's the district attorney and he's putting away a lot of Gotham's criminals.
Right.
And he is what Batman / Bruce Wayne wants to be.
Right.
Because
a
he can put
public
a
figure.
He can put a face on what he does, and he's doing it because the whole thing is in originally Batman, in Batman Begins and always in Gotham, he was always trying to clean up the town because it had deteriorated so much. Here comes your White Knight, Harvey Dent, to do that for him, and that's why Batman has such faith in him.
Right.
And that's why it makes it such an that's why it's so integral having so many characters, whereas you go back to the old Batman movies like Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, which were just
Try to throw characters together.
After seeing The Dark Knight, you realize just how awful those movies are.
Oh, yeah.
Because
totally.
They throw characters together who make no sense or anything like that. This is why all the characters work, is because they do tie together. There's a lot of characters in it. I mean, you've got Batman, you've got Rachel Dawes, you've got Bruce Wayne, who's another character as well.
Right.
You've got Alfred, you've got
Lucius Fox, who's still a pretty major character in the film,
and the Joker. I mean, you've got all these people.
A significantly bigger role for Commissioner Gordon.
Jim Gordon.
Yeah,
he's not commissioner. He's
he's Jim Gordon. But you've got a significantly bigger role for Gary Oldman as Jim Gordon. So I think the best part about this film is that you always, there's always a sense of tension.
Mm.
So there's always, there's just, it's a very intense film. The easiest way I could describe it is seeing it in IMAX, which is the way I would highly recommend you see it. It really feels like from moment one, it's just punching you in the chest.
Well, and it's also believable. You literally could say, you watch this and you say, I could see where somebody with almost unlimited funds could pull off the whole Batman thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you could look at it and say, I can see where a psychopath like the Joker
right.
could pull off what he does.
Right.
Unlike the other Batman movies like Batman Forever, where the Riddler makes this thing that goes in your head when you
right.
watch TV. Which
it's not crazy.
It doesn't even make sense in the context of a comic book.
Right. And I think you even look back to like Tim Burton's Batman and the fact that they told the Joker origin story there. And,
which is
and
out of the Killing that. Joke. That was from the
right.
Killing Joke.
Which, that's cool, but I thought that what they did differently this time made the Joker so much more terrifying. The fact that he doesn't have an origin story.
Well, and he's realistic.
Yeah, he's a very realistic. He's just some psycho that just
came
to
power.
They in one of the first scenes in the movie, they talk about one of the other guys in the gang's like, "Oh, he's just crazy. He paints his face like war paint."
Yeah.
You know, and as the movie goes along, you realize that that's all it is. It's just war paint. He's just crazy.
Well, and this is the other thing, and we'll talk a little bit about Heath Ledger, because that's what everyone's talking about.
Right,
does he measure up to the hype? You know, mm-hmm. is he going to get an Oscar? I think he's a shoo-in to get a Golden Globe nomination, because the foreign yeah. press is going gaga over him.
Mm-hmm.
July is very early to say whether he's going to get an Oscar or not.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yep, and I think if he does, he deserves it. He
Absolutely.
Deserves it for the performance. Not because he's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing that I think by, because I think the whole, people will have, by the time the Oscar nominations come out, he'll have been gone for a year. And I think people mm-hmm. have settled down from it
right.
for a while. And, but I always read DC Comics when I was a kid. I read Superman and Batman.
Yeah.
Those were my favorites. So I'm always hypercritical of the Superman and Batman movies. And if you've read any of my reviews enough to know that I'm actually kinder to the Marvel adaptations, because I don't know the Marvel universe.
Right.
So they could do whatever they want to the Iron Man mythos, mm-hmm. and I'd be like, whatever.
Right.
But Batman, you know, they do little things. I'd be like, no, his computer, Bat computer was on that wall.
Right.
And where's the giant penny? You know, stuff like
right.
that. And, you know, when they announced Heath Ledger's the Joker, I'm not a huge Heath Ledger fan. I'll tell you that. I'm mm-hmm. not huge. Until Batman the Dark Knight, I wasn't terribly impressed with him
right.
as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, we'll see. And then I found out, well, he doesn't have the pale white skin. It's really just face paint. I'm just like, ugh. Because
right.
that does deviate from the comics.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say, what they put together for the Joker totally works
yeah.
in the context. And even though he's not physically white, mm-hmm. he doesn't really have green hair, it's dyed hair.
Right.
It truly embodies the spirit of the Joker mm-hmm. from the comics more than any of the other films.
Right.
Jack Nicholson was good.
But he was a caricature.
But yeah. even then, if you watch the cartoons, even the good cartoons, you know,
right.
with the new The Batman TV show,
mm-hmm.
it's still that Joker. And the Joker's gone through such changes over the years in the
right.
comics.
Yeah. I get the feeling that
he works. I mean, it really it's probably the best Batman movie you're ever going to see.
Yeah, I get the feeling that these are almost versions of the characters that like Bob Kane would have intended. The very dark,
well,
very
have
real
you read
characters.
The original? Have you?
No, I haven't.
The original appearance of the Joker was he again just kind of appears out of nowhere and starts killing people. He does the thing
yeah.
where he gasses them and their face curls up in the
mm-hmm.
mask. But he was just a psychopath.
Right. Yep. I think this is. And it's almost one of those situations in where a movie kind of transcends its own source material.
Yeah.
Where it's almost like it gets the point of the characters more than it is, you know, directly from the comic books.
Yeah. But I think they built the world. And there are some problems I had with Batman Begins,
mm-hmm.
but all of the problems they had, they plugged. And it seems to me like The Dark Knight is the kind of movie Christopher Nolan originally wanted to make,
right.
but he had to prove himself with Batman Begins and deal
mm-hmm.
with some studio meddling,
yep.
whereas they kind of were like, just do The Dark Knight.
Yep.
Here's your budget, here's your cast, and go.
Yeah.
So I
honestly think this is easily the best superhero movie I've ever seen.
Fat guy grade, you're saying it
totally
sucks.
Totally
right?
rocks.
I say it rocks.
All right, when we come back, we've got all kinds of fun stuff. Now, Kevin, I think it's time to put a little variety into our life. Try something new. As well you should be. So we're going to introduce
you. Why do you have three guys in togas behind you with giant boards?
They're going to help me do this next segment, I suppose.
I'm terrified.
But we're going to do a little segment called the Indie Spotlight.
Da, 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 da. I don't know.
I don't know. We'll
that
make
was
up
sort
a
of the OSU
it.
Theme song for some strange.
So thing. Every week what I'm going to do is we're going to talk about a movie that
you've seen that I've already seen, at Sundance 7 years ago.
We're going to talk about indie flicks that may not be coming out where all of us live.
You mean The Crystal Skull?
What?
That was an indie flick.
Yeah, well, Indiana Jones. Wow, you just, dun-dun-dun. You're killing me. So this week's choice is one that released on July 4th, but it is expanding. I think it'll be in our market in Columbus at the end of the month. But by August...
I have no idea.
By the end of July, it should be just about everywhere. It's called The Whackness.
And I'm going to see it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Are you going to go see it for like seventh time?
For the ninth time or whatever? I'm not sure yet. We'll see. But... it's called The Whackness. It is set in the summer of 1994. And
when you were born?
No. I was 11. It's about Luke Shapiro, who's played by Josh Peck from Josh and Drake, or Drake and Josh.
That's a pretty cool name.
And
hi, I'm Luke Shapiro.
Yeah.
I'm your private investigator.
And Luke Shapiro spends his entire summer after high school dealing the green stuff. And the one guy that he deals it to, what?
Cabbage.
Yeah, sure. Cabbage. Street cabbage.
Street and cabbage.
The one guy that he deals to is a therapist named Dr. Squires, and he's played by...
You know what, on the internet, it says his character's the rapist.
The rapist. He's played by Sir Ben Kingsley, and it's actually a great summertime comedy. I'm going to play a clip here.
Want to get to lie on the couch or nothing?
Would you like to lie on the couch?
Is that a trick question?
Luke Shapiro.
You get my headphones on straight.
I've been thinking about your dilemma.
What's my dilemma?
Young man needs sex, Luke. All men, actually. I can get you a hooker if you like.
God, I was this close to respecting you.
Big mistake.
Big mistake, Neil.
Yeah, now, this is one of those movies, and I think the reason that I really, really got into it is...
it's because you take drugs.
It is... no. It's a real nostalgia movie. If you grew up in the 90s... it's,
and we're high.
It's got all kinds of cool stuff. You know, especially if you grew up in New York, I guess, the Giuliani was a big thing, and they always talk about Giuliani, and he's got like a
you
regular
grow
Nintendo.
Up in New York.
I didn't. I'm saying if you
were
did...
You were 11.
Right, if you did.
How can this be a... you don't even know what...
but there's also
like
some rap references. When I was 12, I was way into rap.
The
so.
Green stuff that you had was like Fruity Pebbles.
So I don't want to hear this, though. It's it's a very cool comedy, and it's a very... it's dark and very funny in a kind of a...
in a dark, funny way?
In a twisted way, yeah, almost. So, and it's got some really cool performances from Josh Peck and Ben Kingsley, and Method Man shows up in it. Olivia Thirlby from Juno. Mm. So it's a very, very cool flick, and I think people should check it out.
And doesn't like Ben Kingsley make out with Mary-Kate Olsen?
He does. This, and I try to avoid that when I talk about the film, but this is the movie where Ben Kingsley makes out with Mary-Kate Olsen.
Can we interview her and ask her, did he taste like cabbage?
Somebody, you know what's funny is we were at Sundance, and we were doing...
I was at Sundance.
No, we were doing press for it, and like somebody just kept asking Ben Kingsley, what's it like to kiss an Olsen twin? He's like, it's like kissing any other actress, you know?
That I do all the time.
Like, what, you know, what do you want me to say here?
Could he taste the vomit from her latest throwing up?
I have no idea.
Or allergic
beneath. I will tell you this. A lot of people are saying or are talking about this is the movie where Mary-Kate Olsen kisses Ben Kingsley. That is such a small part in this movie. Josh Peck really,
there's
really
a lot
shines.
More like drugs.
Really shines in this flick. And the director, Jonathan Levine, very intelligent dude. Very, very keyed in on that particular period of time.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
What was it like seeing a movie where Ben Kingsley kisses an Olsen?
It's actually a really funny scene. Ben Kingsley, you never expect him to play, you know, a pot-smoking therapist who trades...
the rapist.
Yeah, who's giving advice like you heard in the clip. I mean... it's just such a funny role for him, and
Gandhi is now a pot smoking rapist.
You never expected it, and I think it's just such a cool role for him, and he really really puts it all out there.
Now I know you love this movie because you've been gooing all over.
I've seen it like five times.
Do you think anyone's gonna go see it?
I do, and I think people. I think it's like a really dark version, a dark cousin to Juno, you know, but it's got that snappy wit to it, but it's darker. It's about drugs and it's about sex.
Well, like, this is one of the things, not
pregnancy. Safer sex, yeah, like, I suppose.
Pregnancy, I mean, sex for right. It's a Juno was about pregnancy, but there wasn't a whole lot of sex involved. Right.
This one's got a little bit more sex.
There are some Tic Tacs.
Yeah, Tic Tacs, you know.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
You and I both saw Charlie Bartlett several months ago. We both enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it had that sort of that snappy adolescent humor. The one, and it bombed.
Right.
It was like embarrassingly bombed. The one
thing that hurt it was.
And I think what really hurt it was the drug thing. It's very hard to sell the drug angle.
Well,
do you think that this is going to suffer the same thing?
The difference is that this one doesn't glorify it in any way, but it's also, it's not a good kid doing, it's dealing drugs. It's just,
but it doesn't condemn it either. It's just right. Sort of like,
it doesn't condemn it. It just exists. It exists around him finding himself in the world, you know, figuring out what it means to get your heart broken, figuring out what you want to do with your life, you know, having a terrible situation at home and all of this. It's about him dealing with his life. He just sells pot, you know, and I think there's some funny moments to that, but it never really takes a side in the whole.
Who do you think is the audience? People who are like at the kid's age, where you're like just out of high school, or is it people who are out of high school in 94? I think it's people
that grew up in the 90s, because I think there's a lot of nostalgia to it. So I think if you were in high school in 1994, this is a good movie for you. Plus, I think, I don't know, anybody 18 to 25 could enjoy it, because it's funny enough.
So. Any boobs?
Maybe.
Well, you mean maybe?
Olivia Thirlby.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll see it then.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very artistically done scene.
I don't care. Do you get to see nips? Right. That's all I care about. That's really all I care
okay,
about.
Okay, fair enough. So yeah, it's
okay.
I mean, I'm not grading it because it's the indie spotlight, but it's the whackness.
Go ahead and grade it. We know what it is. It. It's totally rocks.
I've been saying that since friggin' January. So, all right, time to move on. Time to do a little box office
about another independent film.
About another independent film called The Dark Knight. So I guess, Kevin, the question of the week is
where's the Sasquatch?
What happened last week? We need to talk about that first, I suppose, right?
Last week. I mean, yeah, it was. Hellboy 2 won,
as we pretty much.
And a close second was Hancock. Hancock's surviving better than I thought it would. Although I think it is a
Will Smith movie. I mean,
well, I think it is going to just completely just get decimated by the Dark Knight.
I think everything is going to get decimated by the Dark Knight.
It's going to be like $3 billion.
Yeah. So you had Hellboy, Hancock, Journey to the Center of the Earth. I think it is worth noting. Meet Dave. Only $5.3 million last week. Finally,
which was $5.3 million more than it really should have been.
Right. Eddie Murphy's streak comes to an end of bad movies that make decent money.
This is second only to Pluto Nash in a disaster. Right.
I think he jinxed it by skipping his own premiere, like we talked about
last week. I think he jinxed it when they made the movie.
Probably.
This is the guy who did Norbit.
I saw it since last show. It was. I talked through that whole movie with people that don't like to talk through movies.
Yes.
So there you go. So this week, it really is a question not of whether The Dark Knight is going to win the box office, but how.
You don't think that Kung Fu Panda is going to have a surge suddenly and take the box
office? Not a chance. Not unless. I mean, I heard a story about a theater in town here that only got 5 reels of the movie, but is going to play it on 20 screens at once. By stringing the reels together through multiple projectors.
Wow.
That is the sheer size of this film.
Well, 5 copies of the movie.
Yeah, they have
not 5 reels.
No, they have 5.
Because that'll take you like through the first hour and then people will be like, what the hell?
They have 5 copies of the film and they're running 4 of them through 19 projectors. The other one's a digital projector, so they can't string it like that. So literally, they're stringing it from one projector to the other. This is going to play. It's going to open.
What theater is this?
The Lenox.
Is it the Lenox? Yeah. They only have 24 screens.
Yeah.
What are they doing? They're
playing it, and they have one midnight show, Mamma Mia.
This is their midnight show.
Yeah, for the midnight show.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
So I mean, it's going to open on 9,200 screens.
It's going to be 20 screens of Dark Knight, 1 screen of Mamma Mia, 1 screen of Space Chimps, 1 screen of Hellboy, and 1 screen of Hancock.
Yeah, exactly. No, but for their midnight shows.
And everything else will show on
DVD. It's going to open on 9,200 screens. It's
which is a lot.
4,366 theaters, which is the highest ever. And
you know what? No, that's not true. There was a movie that came out in 1922. That opened in 5,600 screens.
Nice.
It wasn't on Earth.
Oh, thank you for that. And
structured chaos.
There are over 700 midnight shows already sold out as of the beginning of this week. This thing's going to make a lot of money.
I think your prediction was $6 or $7 billion.
I've come down since then. I'm down into the, I honestly think it's going to make $160
million.
I honestly believe that it will defeat Spider-Man.
I think it has a good shot of cracking $150 million. I don't know if right. that's going to happen. But
and I, the only thing that could possibly hold it back is the fact that it's 2.5 hours long.
I ran the numbers earlier this week and we did the post, and I figured that, and actually my numbers were somewhat conservative because I used the standard ticket price, and I think the ticket prices are going to be higher because there's so many late night shows.
Right.
And it's not in dollar theaters yet. And then, and also, I think my seat counts were a little low simply because it's going to be in the biggest houses of the theaters.
Yeah.
And then thirdly, they've added about 1,000 more screens than I originally predicted.
Right.
But even at my lower end predictions, if every seat in every theater was sold out, it could make a maximum of about $100 million a day.
So it could make about $300 million a week.
Potentially could make about $300. If you throw in some fudge factors, it could probably be close to $400 million. Right. But that's if every single theater, every seat sells out throughout the entire weekend. So right. that's like the maximum it can make.
Mm-hmm.
So about half of that, I think, is realistic.
Yep. Yep. And I think most of the industry experts are saying at least 100. A lot of people are in the 130 range. Some people are saying it could very well get close to that 154 million that Spider-Man 3 did.
Well, and the difference between this and, say, something like, there's a lot of movies that Hancock had a okay opening, mm-hmm. and it sometimes dips. Word of mouth is going to spread this movie, because take Heath Ledger's death. Take that out of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Take just the ridiculous hype of the Batman out of it.
Right.
It's still just a good movie.
Yeah, it's still a movie that I want to go see again.
Yeah, even like Hancock, you can sit there and be like, well, it was okay, but if you need something, you know. But I mean, people will be like, go, if you didn't hear about The Dark Knight, you know, like if you're, I mean, Osama bin Laden knows that the Dark Knight's
coming. He's probably
going to
be there at a midnight show.
He probably will be.
Yeah.
With his dialysis machine.
Well, he's going to get the handicap spot. Ugh. There goes the plan of taking my friend with the wheelchair.
God. Okay.
Anyways, with that, we've got to go. We'll be back. And we're back, and this is our internet-only segment, as you know.
Bring it on!
Yeah. We're gonna do a couple
We're in cheerleader outfits.
We're going to roll you through a new segment we like to call Bring On the Hype, where we talk about movies that aren't coming out for a while.
My rule is I'm not going to talk about anything you give me. I'm just going to randomly say
things. You're going to randomly say things like Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
We'll talk about her later.
That's on the list.
Then we're going to do a little Comic-Con preview, because next week we'll be in San Diego for
Potbelly Pig.
For Comic-Con 2008. And we're also going to do a new segment called Weekly WTF, which stands for...
What the fudge?
What the fudge. Where we pick a few topics that made us stop and go, what the fuck is wrong with the world? Basically. So...
Like sing-alongs for Mamma Mia.
Right. So we'll start with Bring On the Hype, and we're going to take a look at two trailers this week that came out. The first one was leaked by some small website that we are affiliated with. Film School Rejects actually was the one, unfortunately, responsible for putting the illegal contraband Spirit trailer.
Which I think has resulted in us not having any coverage of Comic-Con.
It's resulted in a hit being put out of my life. Because, and the reason is, not only did the Spirit trailer get out, it's also bad. And I think that really, those two don't combine well.
This is what I don't understand, though.
What?
They released it like 3 days later, officially.
Not even. It was released like...
The next day.
The next day.
But here's my thing. If they're mad that you put it up,
mm-hmm.
and it got bad word of mouth,
yep.
they still released the damn trailer.
Right.
How does that stop? How does getting mad at you change anything?
It doesn't.
Because you blew Yahoo Movies exclusive Probably. On it or something?
Yeah. But here's my problem with it. It looks so... Much like hyper stylized.
It looks like Sin City on steroids.
Yeah, but I get the Sin City thing. I understand what Frank Miller
Sin City on Ecstasy.
Wants to make, but I've read The Spirit. That's not anything like the comic.
Is it?
There's a lot of style to The Spirit, but it's not Sin City crazy coloring. And
is it based on a graphic novel he wrote based on Will Eisner stuff, or is it just based on Will Eisner's
It's based on Will Eisner stuff. I don't think I've ever seen a Frank Miller Spirit graphic novel.
So it's not even like Sin City or 300, which is based right off a graphic novel.
Right. It's based on a comic book by Will Eisner, written in the 40s. And yeah, there was a lot of like cool style to it. But this looks like it's taking it a little too far. It looks like it's trying a little too hard. And I'm worried that it's going to come out like Sin City meets Sky Captain the World Tomorrow, where it's like even more hyper stylized than Sin City.
It kind of looks like with people falling out of the mouth and weird.
Yeah, the only problem is that fans of Will Eisner's work, which there are a lot, because I mean this is first great comic books back in the day was The Spirit.
They're going to get pissed off at this.
And man, Frank Miller's, he's going to be in a lot of trouble with comic book fans.
Well, let's move on to the next trailer.
The next one's Terminator Salvation.
With Batman.
With Batman as John Connor. Our first look at not only Christian Bale as John Connor, but of the new Terminators that will be in McGee's movie.
Could be good. I think McGee can do it. By this time, these movies are just turning into big giant shoot 'em ups. So yeah, that's what he does best.
And you know what I think? I think too that they have the right idea. At least this is going to become buzzword after The Dark Knight comes out and makes like $6 or $7 billion in opening weekend. It's all going to be with these big franchises. It's going to be like, can we do with Terminator what Christopher Nolan did with Batman?
And the answer is going to be, for the most part, no.
For the most part, no.
Until Christopher Nolan does something.
But also, I think I mentioned this when I put up the trailer on Film School Rejects. I get the feeling that McGee could be that right guy for this movie. You know, I mean, if you would have told me...
Kind of like the way Joe Johnson was the right guy for Jurassic Park
3. No. Kind of like the way if you would have told me back in, you know, I don't know, 2000, 2001, 2002, that Michael Bay was going to do Transformers, a lot of people would have been like, well, no, Michael Bay, I mean, just...
You still want to wet yourself because it's Michael Bay.
But hear me out on this. Michael Bay didn't seem like the perfect guy for that movie at first glance, but when he made the film, he was the right director for Transformers. It wasn't the greatest movie in the world, but it was a good Transformers movie.
Well, I think also he had to have made Pearl Harbor and The Island, two movies where he really misfired.
Right.
And
I think McGee, he just came off We Are Marshall.
Marshall.
Was terrible.
Yeah.
So
especially those pants.
But I think this is the right kind of movie for him, and he might be the right kind of guy for this movie. Who knows? I don't know. So let's move on. Comic-Con preview.
Let's do the Comic-Con preview.
Cool. So we're going to Comic-Con next week.
We are?
We are.
When does the plane leave?
9 a.m. on Wednesday.
That doesn't work for me.
Yeah. I'm going to need you to clear some schedule for that. But you and I will be in San Diego once again. Last year we did our show from there. This year we're going to do a show again. We might have some special guests. Who knows? But
depends on who we can get drunk.
It depends on who. Yeah.
Pretty sure that certain people might show up.
Right. But we're also going to have Brian with us again this year. We're going to have multiple members of the Film School Reject staff. We've got Cole Abias. And Rob Hunter and Robert Fury. And my brother Cody is going with us as well.
That's and Robert awesome. Fury and I are going to be doing video stuff.
All kinds of cool video stuff.
We're going to try and get the girl from The After Dark, Dominatrix, to dominate us.
Mm-hmm. So, and we've got a couple things that we're really looking forward to. At least I'm looking forward to. A couple movies that we will see footage of when we're at Comic-Con and hopefully talk to some of the people involved. Mm-hmm. We've got Watchmen, which is Zack Snyder's. Along the lines of The Spirit is another one of those, you know, holy grail type comic franchises that has taken a long time to get in development. We've got Max Payne, which after that first trailer looks pretty cool.
Looks painful.
I'm kind of excited to see. We've got The Spirit.
Which we won't see a frame of.
If Lionsgate doesn't murder one of us before we get there, we'll have some coverage of The Spirit. We're also going to talk about Twilight, the internet sensation, cult following, and we're going to see if our writer Cole can get himself a date with one of the Twilight moms.
Yeah, he will be raped by the Twilight moms.
And last but not least, the other movie I'm looking forward to having everyone else see is Hamlet 2.
Oh, we're going to rock sexy Jesus.
Because we're trying to set up some interviews with Hamlet 2. There's also a party and a screening.
Can we interview Jesus?
We're very excited about that. We might interview Jesus.
He'll be there. Jesus?
Steve Coogan as Jesus? I don't know. We'll see. So the other thing I did want to mention is the Masters of the Web panel.
The Masters of the Bates panel, yes.
It's on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock.
So no one's going.
So, like, yeah, most people aren't even in town yet.
The only worst time is, like, Sunday at 2.
Right. Which is where it was last year.
Yeah.
It was, like, it's Sunday at, like, 11.
They're literally moving stuff out of the room as you're trying to, like, we got to strike this because we've got, you know, the Friars are coming in.
Right. So
Shriners? I don't know somebody.
I have no idea. The Masters of the Web panel, this is a bunch of webmasters and editors from major movie websites. Not the major movie website because I'm not on there. But they're going to be giving away passes to the Wrath of Khan party. They're going to be giving away 10 pairs of passes to the Wrath of Khan party. And I wanted to read some of this guest list. And I'll be at this Wrath of Khan party because I guess if you're cool, they let you in.
Well, or if you're on the email list of somebody who wasn't supposed to forward it out.
That's also potentially true. But Brian and I, we were at this party last year.
Accosting celebrities.
Accosting celebrities. And this year we will be back, of course. And hold on. I've got the list.
I'm sure. Time's just ticking away.
I'm sure.
No need to keep
So there were going to be some celebrities this year. Last year we met Milo Ventimiglia from Heroes.
He was everywhere.
We met.
He was like doing the bike. He was like taking people from place to place in those like rickshaws.
Yeah, so
Heroes this week.
Yeah, we met some cool people last year, so he'll be back this year, I believe. But also Jason Statham's going to be at the party. Len Wiseman, who directed Live Free or Die Hard. Rona Mitra from Doomsday. David Goyer.
Totally not David Goyer. Rona Mitra's not.
Bill Nighy, John Cho, and Simon Pegg's going to be there from Star Trek. Mm-hmm. So if you see Simon Pegg at this party, though, ask him.
Is he going to be Simon Pegg from Star Trek? Or is he going to be Simon Pegg from Hot Fuzz?
I don't know. Ask him if you can see his iPhone, because there's some things on his iPhone, apparently, that he wouldn't show me last time. So, but also some ladies that you'll be interested in. Lena Headey's going to be there.
Yeah.
NPH is going to be there. Neil Patrick Harris.
He's not a lady.
I know he's not a lady. Like, but I saw his name. And I was
can't
like,
wait.
Sweet.
Now NPH. I do want to. Can you give me this? Because I want to say to. I'm gonna take this clip. I'm gonna say, listen to this. That guy thinks you're a girl.
Yeah. No. Also,
and
Jamie,
he wants to go out with you.
Jamie King from The Spirit
and
Sin
she's
City.
Hot.
And
Jamie Presley, I'd be more interested in though.
Okay. Fair enough. And Biling.
Oh.
Who is a trashy chick for you?
I love trashy chicks.
And Edgar Wright, Corey Feldman. And Corey Haim are scheduled to appear at this party.
Are we going to get an eating contest? Between?
We're working on
it. I want to get an eating contest with Harry, not Harry Knowles. He'd totally crip. He'd eat me. no, but I want to get an eating contest with Corey Feldman. He'd do it.
Yes. And as always, Mark Neville Dean and Brian Taylor, the two guys that did Crank and now Crank 2.
Again, they were on rickshaws running around last
they were
year,
all
too.
Over
you're like,
I have
wait
a
minute.
That...
weren't you just like at the other end of the convention hall?
Yep.
No, look, I got you on my phone. Yeah. So.
Yep, their crew is going to be all over the place this year. So I'm kind of excited for the party this year. It's going to be fun. If you'd like to get in on the action and you're going to be at Comic-Con, head to the Masters of the Web panel.
Am I going to this party?
10 o'clock. We don't know yet.
Did you invite?
Working on it.
Okay.
So
I can make fun of you in front of Neil Patrick Harris.
This you might not be going now.
And Corey Feldman and I.
Yes.
We're going to see who can eat hard-boiled eggs.
Nice. All right, cool. So time to move on to the weekly WTF. And
what, the fiddlesticks?
We've got. See, it's so much more fun to make up a word. You don't even want to say what it really
what,
means.
What, the Furbies?
So, I'll go first. I've got one. It came out this week that Megan Fox was asked to gain weight for Transformers.
It says on the note.
It says lose weight, I know. But she was asked to gain weight because, and I quote, she told Fox News, I'd lost a lot of weight and got really scrawny, but I was told that I had to put on size for Transformers because Michael doesn't like skinny girls.
Yeah. He doesn't like girls that look like they're going to die.
Right.
That a stiff breeze.
And apparently she lost
all
the weight for Jennifer's Body, which is that horror flick where she gets naked. And it also stars Amanda Seyfried, who was very hot in Mamma Mia.
Does she get naked?
I don't know. Maybe. We'll have to see. I'm excited for this Jennifer's Body movie because it was written by Diablo Cody and Megan Fox gets naked.
Yeah.
And it's produced by Jason Reitman.
Well, but see, like, I totally get that. This is where I will defend Michael Bay to my dying day.
Mm-hmm.
Put on some weight, ladies, because you know Rachel Taylor in Transformers was totally hot, and then I saw her in Shudder, and she looked like she would just crumble
right
if she got bumped up against like aluminum foil.
Right. Michael Bay knows what he wants.
Mm-hmm. He knows what
and usually
guys
what
want
he to. Wants is what every other male 18 to 35 in America the, wants to.
The guy used to direct frickin' beer commercials. The guy knows how to do right. TNA on screen. Come
right.
On.
So Michael Bay made a good decision. Your turn.
Andy Dick is going to jail.
When's Andy Dick now? Is he in Columbus again going to
no,
jail?
No, but you know what's great is this story, it references his Columbus. Apparently what happened is he was at a Buffalo Wild Wings. He wasn't even like at the Rainbow Room. He was at
right.
Buffalo Wild Wings.
He was
Wings.
At B-dubs.
Yeah, and he apparently got drunk, and there was a 17-year-old girl outside, and he ripped her like tank top and bra off. So he's now being charged with sexual
battery. And everyone around him was then charged as well for like some kind of statutory
well, no,
crime.
The reality is actually bearing your breast is not considered nude. It's not considered, but it's because he ripped her clothes off, I believe, is what gives him the sexual battery charge. So you can watch, you can see naked chicks from the top waist up. But that's not considered nudity because it's not genitalia. Anyways, just thing you got to know.
Researched this,
I know
apparently.
This sort of thing. But what's so funny about it is he was, quote, extremely intoxicated.
Yeah.
And the news story details his list of problems. Just like, I don't just want to read this. This is from the news story. Dick has a reputation for crude behavior. He has been reported to have exposed himself on the audience at least twice. He was forcibly removed from the set of the show Jimmy Kimmel Live last year when he repeatedly touched guest Ivanka Trump without her permission, which I think would have been interesting if she would have been like, yes, you have my permission to grab my boobs.
Yeah.
And then also last year, Dick was cited in Columbus, Ohio.
Right,
for
right
urinating, urinating on the sidewalk. A comedy club owner from the Funny Bone in the city said the actor also made inappropriate comments while on stage, which who
it's
doesn't?
A
it's a comedy club. But then groped patrons, took women to the men's room and urinated on the floor, and at least one person.
Did he urinate on the women in the men's room?
Yeah, apparently he was peeing and then like turned, I think was what it was. But it said he urinated on at least one person. Which
at least one person.
I guess they're sort of like, you know how sometimes like when you drive by the site of an accident and you'll see like somebody put a hand-painted sign, somebody saw what happened, please call this number.
Right.
You know, because there was a hit and run or something. Apparently the comedy club has a poster that says if you've been urinated on by Andy Dick. But the best part about it is if you go to Yahoo News and go to the entertainment section, you can see his mugshot, which is the scariest looking mugshot ever. It makes Nick Nolte's famous mugshot look like Peter Cottontail.
Now that you describe it, I have to look this up.
He looks like a guy who has urinated on at least one person.
He looks like a guy who, if you saw him on the street, you'd think, man, I'm probably going to get urinated on.
Yeah, I mean, he is.
I'm
going to
get peed on.
Yeah, I bet you. With
oh
this
my
look,
god,
this look.
That doesn't even look anything like him.
He could like he. It could be expect. I think you get when you take a mugshot like this for free, you get a van with no windows.
Nice. Can we put this mugshot in the show notes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool. That's going in the show notes because that it doesn't even look like Andy Dick. It looks like a skinny version of Charles Manson.
It's literally, it's like, because usually a mugshot, somebody's just there like, You know, they got that look on their face like, whatever.
He
posed
very
for this.
Sadistic.
He's like, they're like, okay.
He's like, no, look at
me. Are
you
ready to take the picture? Okay, ready? Smile.
Nice.
All right, go on.
Cool. I've got the next one. The next one is about Brett Ratner. And Miley Cyrus. This is really weird. But he recently directed a video for Miley's song, Seven Things. And he told E! News exclusively.
Does that have anything to do with that George Carlin, Seven Things You Can't Say?
No, I doubt it. I doubt Miley Cyrus is singing that song.
It's like,
otherwise, like, her publicist is going to be like, I had no idea I was in the room.
That would be a great song. Miley Cyrus singing.
Yeah, and the recording studio's like, but her dad was in the room, so I suppose it's okay that we recorded that. You know, similar to the Vanity Fair thing.
That's because she doesn't have Abigail Breslin's publicist. That's all there is.
Exactly. But the quote that Ratner gave, I mean, because we all know that Brett Ratner is like the authority on quality on anything. He said that she's a lot like Madonna. And that the similarities are striking because Brett Ratner, he directed the horrific video for Beautiful Stranger that was attached to Austin Powers' Spy Who Shagged Me. And he's basically like, yeah, when I did that really crappy video for Madonna for that Austin Powers movie, you know, she was really cool. And then Miley Cyrus was really cool when I did this video. So, you know, I can see her doing a sex book very soon.
Yeah, that like you know? Me. I mean, I've interviewed Alice Cooper and I've interviewed Abigail Breslin, and both were very charming.
Right.
That'd be me like saying, you know, Abigail Breslin has a real Alice Cooper vibe.
Right. Well, and the other thing is, like, you're comparing her to Madonna. I get it. Madonna, huge star. I'm sure she's a sweet lady.
But a whore with a capital W and H.
She's done some things that Miley Cyrus, I don't foresee doing yet because she's underage.
I don't see Miley Cyrus writing in her sex book memoirs a whole essay about how much she loves her pussy.
Right.
And I'm not talking about her cat.
Right. Mm-hmm. So whether or not Miley Cyrus will end up like Madonna, I don't know. I think she's going to sell as many records.
She already has.
You know, I mean, hey, if she turns 20 and does a sex book, more power to her. I'll buy it.
I know you will.
So that's my last
break into the photo shoot.
Yeah, no, maybe. Okay. Anyways, next one.
The next one, this is, I just saw this because I think it's hysterical. Not even the story, because the story is just another celebrity gossip thing.
Right.
The writer is Jennifer Cady from E! Online.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to, again, I don't like to read too much on the radio, but I just have to read it because just this section, because it's kind of pathetic. And it's about how Vanessa, there's a picture of Vanessa Hudgens and they're in bathing. She's in a bathing suit and Zac Efron's, and he's actually got a shirt on and I'm assuming a bathing suit too. And she's just straddling them. They look like, you know, two early 20s kids having fun on a beach. Right. I mean, there's nothing racy about it. Really.
They weren't having sex yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they were, those would definitely come out. So
right.
This is the quote. This is a story. We're just going to assume Vanessa Hudgens is straddling Zac Efron in her bikini in this romantic Caribbean beach because she's about to tickle attack him.
Ugh. This is what I hate about Disney stars. Yeah,
not only for the sake of the couple's young High School Musical fan base, but for our own. Now, here is the commentary by Jennifer Cady, the writer. We prefer to think of our Zefron. Now, that's Z Efron, all ran together, because apparently he's in a relationship with himself, that our own Zefron... as innocent and darling as Troy Bolton. Vanessa, on the other hand, well, we already got her number down. So apparently she's referring to the nude photos of Vanessa on the
right.
Internet.
Well, here's the problem.
She does she just basically is like, that whore, get off my boyfriend.
Yeah. The problem with the Disney stars, and this is why they all turn out like Britney Spears, okay? Because we expect them, people expect them to be like this clean, holier than thou persona. All like Miley Cyrus. I feel bad for them sometimes.
Well, it's what their TV shows.
They are marketed into having to be like model teenagers and stuff. And then once they grow out of it, like when they're in that period between like 18 and 22, like Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens are right now, they're in like they rebel hard and everyone's watching.
Yeah.
You know, because they're still on the kids show when they're 19.
Oh yeah.
So
well, it's interesting.
I feel bad.
The way the Disney Channel does their thing, they have a policy at Disney Channel that they only let a show run for 3 years.
Right.
Now the reason they say it is because they don't want it to get stale. You know, like years ago they had a show called The Jersey, they had a show called Famous Jet Jackson, which were these, and they ran 3 years and then they cancel them and they do new shows. Right. Part of it is because you get a new audience to the Disney Channel every 3 or 4 years anyways.
Right.
So you don't need
it's
these shows.
It's not like the Lifetime
last
Network where women start watching it at 18 and are watching it until they're 80.
Yeah, you don't need a show that goes for 20 years.
Right.
And the other reason they do it is that way they're constantly getting new, fresh shows in there, and they're moving celebrities out, and then they can grow up. And, you know, I mean, if Ashley Tisdale wants to do a sex scene in a movie, who cares? A lot of actresses do that, but she can't do that when she's on the Disney contract, you know?
Right.
I mean, we're waiting for it, but, you know. But the other thing is they only do that so that they can get the kids out, but they have let go of some people. There's a show on called Phil of the Future, which is about a kid in high school who came from the future and his family, and they're stuck in modern day. And this kid, gosh, I don't even remember the kid's name, the kid who played Phil of the Future. It was on for like 2 years, and he did like, his friend did a music video, and it was like a YouTube music video, not even like a professional one.
Right.
And he's there doing Gangster Sign. I think at one point he's flicking off, and there's drug use in the video. He's not taking drugs, but it sort of depicts drug use. The show just, boom, disappeared.
Right.
Just like disappeared. And then they plucked the people they liked, like the girl Allison Michaela, who's part of Ally and AJ, who's got a stalker from Ohio, by the way. They plucked her and put her into her own things because she's squeaky clean. This other kid's not.
Right.
So.
So yeah, I feel bad for the Disney Channel kids. It's bad. It's a rough world that they get to grow up and be rich in.
Poor Zefron.
Yeah, poor Zefron. With that, I think it's time to go to a break. When we come back, we'll be back in regular radio mode and ready to wrap you up. We're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys the Movies, another week almost down. But before we... Wow, you are...
Oh, I'm yawning. I'm sorry.
It's all those beers that you drank before the show.
No.
But yes, time to do DVD Roundup. I was waiting for you there.
I was seeing if you'd be up for the anticipation.
I was up for the anticipation. Structured almost chaos. I was almost anticipating the sound effect as much as I am seeing The Dark Knight for the third time.
You're daydreaming about Zefron, weren't you?
Zefron, yes. That's...
Which in the internet-only segment... Right. That's the pet name for Zac Efron.
Right. And we did, however, get through almost an entire show without mentioning Peter Dinklage.
Oh, but, let's give a shout out to Peter Dinklage.
But just in case you missed it, Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage rocks.
So now moving on to the DVD Roundup, you go first. You got your DVD pick of the week.
Okay. We just came off of a very interesting discussion of Disney in the internet-only segment. Please don't listen to it, especially if you work for Disney.
We'll never be going to another movie again.
Yeah, somehow my junket coverage for Disney is going to disappear fast.
Right.
Although I don't think I said anything really bad.
Nope. No. Nothing really bad. Just we criticize.
No.
That's what we do.
Anyways.
We're fat.
What?
I don't know how
just
that works.
Just because we're fat,
what's
we get
your damn pick of the week?
Okay. Did you just use the D word
Maybe.
On the radio? Shame on you. mine is going to be College Road Trip. And blows me out of the water because I thought I would hate this movie.
Right.
And
because of the inclusion of a pig?
Well, yeah. As, you know, Raven Simone is in the movie. But no, I don't like Raven. I've never liked
there's
Raven.
There's a real pig in the movie.
There is a real pig in the movie, yeah. But I never liked Raven, and I'm really not a big Martin Lawrence fan.
Okay.
But you know what? Together, for some bizarre reason, it kind of
you
kind of
like it?
It kind of worked. And I think part
you
of it is...
You do like movies that... It's just weird how you like certain movies.
Okay.
Yeah. No one can ever understand it.
And there's a pig in it. There's this really adorable pig. And if you watch
like
ads,
a real pig.
A real pig, like a little pot-belly pig.
Yeah.
And if you watch the ads, you'd think the whole movie was about the pig.
Right.
But the pig, it's. I have to say, I did not hate this movie. So
okay, and I've got my pick of the week is Meet Bill, stars Aaron Eckhart.
Is there a pig in this movie?
No pigs in this movie. It's about Aaron Eckhart plays this dude that is.
He plays a dude.
Is not happy with his life. His wife is cheating on him.
Okay,
so he,
pretty much like everybody.
He mentors a teen. It's really not. I mean, it's wives. Aaron Eckhart, and being Aaron Eckhart, and he's a good actor, and it also has Jessica Alba and Elizabeth Banks, which makes it worth it.
Ooh.
So yes. There you
I'll
go.
See, I'll watch. Literally, I would watch anything with Jessica Alba in it.
Right. Even the bad stuff is still worth going to see.
She does her fair share of bad stuff.
She does a lot of bad stuff.
And apparently, it came out in the news that she wants more kids.
Right.
Just to let you know, Jessica.
We're
here
for
you. I've got a good track record.
614-388-8735.
If you ever check the email. Voicemail. We're going to get a voicemail like 3 months later going, oh, we never checked. I'll be like, hey, it's Jessica Alba. I'm in town. I'm kind of feeling a little bit frisky. Can I come over?
Right.
And we'll get it like in February.
So at least we will be able to play that live on the air.
Yeah, it would have been cooler if she was over here frisky.
All right. Fair enough. Right. So in our stinker of the week, we mentioned this once in the show.
Yeah.
When we talked about Rachel Taylor.
Yeah. Shudder. This is another Japanese import that's been remade and it's really not that good. I actually kind of wanted to see it.
Yeah.
And then I saw it. And
it
I'm
stars
like,
Pacey, right? Wasn't he Pacey?
Oh, Joshua Jackson. Creek. Yeah, he's in it. But it stars Rachel Taylor, who's just way too skinny in this movie.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. That's the DVD roundup. And moving on to the review wrap up.
I don't have a good sound effect for the review wrap up.
After
I got
full,
a pretzel bag here.
After more than a year of doing this show, we can. Still don't have a sound effect for that one. Yeah. So we'll start with Mamma Mia. And
Mamma Mia, here I go again. Mama.
What was your grade?
What? You don't mind people singing along in the movie theater, but if I start singing,
not when
if
I
break
you a
out
question,
the rab- ABBA?
Answer me when I'm talking to you.
My rabbit ABBA?
Wow.
Can you say ABBA backwards?
ABBA.
ABBA. See, there you go.
Can you say ABBAgasm?
Backwards?
Sure.
Smag ABBA?
Anyways, so I said kind of rocks because it was fun, though men could be tortured by it.
Okay, that's the definition of kind of rocks. Okay.
Yes.
I said kind of rocks because it was, you know, for what it was okay, but it wasn't great.
Yes, and Space Chimps.
Stage show is better.
Okay, Space Chimps, you said. Which translates into?
Kind of rocks.
Okay, kind of rocks. And then The Dark Knight, this is a pretty easy one.
I was trying to figure out a way to do bat noises.
You can't.
But I can't. I was doing them. It's just they were so high in the ultrasonic range, obviously. You couldn't hear them. But yeah. I'll do it in English.
Okay.
It rocks.
Totally rocks. And rocks.
Is there a difference between rocks and totally rocks for you?
Yeah.
There shouldn't be. We have four grades, dude.
Well, yeah, but it's an emphasis on rocks. It rocks.
Like, so it's like saying it's rocks like with an
best
English
movie of the year rocks.
Well, you said that about everything. You said that about like
best movie of the year so guru. Far. So
you said that about The Love Guru.
I did not say that about the
Love
Guru.
I think you said kind
so
of.
So go see The Dark Knight this weekend. Next week. We're going to be in San Diego, but we will be
only a half hour from Tijuana.
We'll be a half hour from Tijuana. We may be in Tijuana by the time we end up recording the show.
Depends on which creepy celebrities we hang out with. Right. Those guys from Crank, I think, will take us down to San Diego.
So we'll be from Comic-Con, but we'll also be attempting to talk about X-Files.
We're not going
to
see the X-Files.
We're going to have to mention it, I suppose.
We'll talk about it.
But we're also going to talk about Step Brothers,
which we will see.
We will see.
Yeah.
And... And that's it. We're going to do all Comic-Con stuff next week. I can't wait.
I can't wait either.
You can't wait. You sound so excited for Comic-Con. It pains me.
At this point, I've just wanted to get it over with because I want to get my life back to normal.
Nice. So if you'd like to get a hold of us in between now and then, fatguysthemovies.com. You can also send us an email, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You know the way to iTunes, the iTunes store. Just search Fat Guys The Movies. And give us a call, 614-388-8735.
Wah!
You're an idiot. Mamma mia, here I go again. Okay.